All right. Well, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist. Come on in. Good to see everybody. Is everybody in the building? You act like you've been in an ice storm for months. Texas, it was only 4 or 5 days, okay? So it's okay. But it seems like it. Wasn't that one of the longest weeks in the history of the world?
Water, electricity,
ice. I finally figured out if any state wanted to come and overtake us tough Texans, just come with ice and you beat and you win automatically. Automatically. Good to see everybody. Glad you're safe. And if you're not safe and if you need something online, if there's somebody in town that any of our senior saints that is needing bottled water, drinking water, or help with plumbing or whatever, contact us. I'm on my own here, so there won't be any interactions on the Facebook page besides we're on. So good to have everybody here. And there is a card back there for Shirley Perkins. She turned 95 last week. So
wow.
Hi, Esther.
Wait, there's also a card
for Francis Elkington. Francis Elkington turns 99 Friday, this coming Friday. Yeah, isn't that 95 and 99? So there's two cards now. Thank you, Esther, for bringing that for Francis and for Shirley Perkins. And Shirley's ceiling in her kitchen fell down. She had busted pipes and everything, but Senior's been on the phone this morning. And I appreciate the people that have been giving and doing things and going the extra mile. You have no idea the ministry that happens when we're not in church, because that's really what church is all about. But all week long, interactions and discussions and people going to homes. And I know there's more people, but the O-Days have just been unbelievable. Senior has been doing what he can. I know there's all kinds of other people. I don't want to start naming names because we'll be I'll miss somebody and leave somebody out. But last week also, there was ministry at the church right after. There's so many people that we don't announce, but that was a nice thing that the ladies of the church did. So I just appreciate who we are and who you are and the church and the loving church that we have. And Little Britches has made it. All right. Okay. He's being taken care of. Let's sing a few songs. And I'm trying to catch my breath. Hi, how are you? All the little kids are coming in. Do they have school Monday? Oh, boy. No, they don't?
We don't know.
Oh, we don't know yet. Okay, well. The parents are praying, please, Lord, let there be school. Okay, let's sing a few songs, and then we'll get into God's Word. I think I have some toe tappers here to begin with. Good to see everybody. Oh, just keep coming in. This is great. Down at the cross,
down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cry, there to my heart flows the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Fountain. It's not broken. It's got no pipes broken.
Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Pass thy persona at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and clear. When the same number shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll
Let's slow death up down a little.
Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let's talk of all this wondrous loving care. When all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Announcements and let people know what's going on. They're still coming in. This is just great. Good to see everybody. If you haven't got a little program or bulletin or whatever they call it, I don't know why they call them bulletins. Where did we come up with that at? That was something way before our time. But this is basically what this is this is what Esther gets paid for. Yeah. This is her baby. She does it. So if there's any mistakes, don't call me. Call Esther. She does all this and does a great job. We do want to mention right now that Charlie Bowman's probably in surgery right now. They took him to surgery early this morning around 7 o'clock. So we'll be praying for Karen and Charlie. And he's losing blood. And they're trying to figure out where that's coming from. So we'll be praying for them that they can heal that and take care of that and fix it.
Is this the second surgery?
I don't know. Is it the second up? Okay, yeah, second, but it's this morning. And it was kind of a blessing because he went to the hospital because of the electric, you know, all the stuff that happened with the storm and everything. And they found this. So be praying for him. And just as soon as we have an update on that, somebody will be letting us know how that goes. But I haven't heard from anybody yet this morning. So be lifting them up, if you could, in your prayer. And also keep Carol and Gloria Mays. She's still on the waiting list for kidney. And we want to lift them up, all the people that are hurting and looking on everything here. Anybody else we need to put on the prayer list? We don't usually open this up very often, but I'll be glad to. Just want to make sure anything that anybody we need to put on? Everybody doing okay? Thank you for that. The pages are okay. That's it. And BSF Thursday night, the Sunday school classes. If mine didn't have them on there, but they're the same as they are every week. And I want to let you know, if you haven't been out in the building, you don't have to, but nothing really is big change this week. But I want to indicate that I think I know God's got us under control and in his perfect providence and protection. There's no doubt in my mind that if we had water to that building right now, last week, we'd be cutting through concrete this next week. That we would have broken lines and all kinds of stuff if that water wasn't flowing and doing things like it should have been. And I know we were saying, God, come on, hurry up. But God said, I have my own time. I think I may have protected you from the perfect storm here. But they're working on that to get those water lines ran. But I, believe it or not, during all that freeze, I thank God. Thank you, Lord, for not giving us water in that building yet. Because the last thing we needed was pipes busted in a brand new building. Be praying for that. We're trying to work on Robert's doing the plans on the stage, and we're working on some other things, working on the sound equipment. They're working on that, and we're working on the projection equipment. We're trying to get that under control, what we're going to do with that, and then finish up some things in the building. So just keep praying, and hopefully this will be a nice week for a couple people have called and said, is it all right if I take care of some people's homes to get them water before we come back out on the job? And I said, absolutely. Are you kidding me? You take care of all the plumbing pipes of people that's on your list and then work us in coming back to the job. So they're going to be in and out this week, not like you would think, like Missy L all week. He'll probably be at people's homes fixing problems that's happened with floors being flooded and houses being destroyed with the water pipes. So we'll just be praying for that, continued prayer for that. I think right now would be a good time. We'll make sure you have your notes today, because we're going to try to finish up this 2 or 3 week sermon series. But if we have the ushers come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. That took a long time, guys. Hey, y'all have plenty of time to fill out your checks. And everybody's going, checks? Who writes checks? Anyway. We appreciate everything that y'all do and how you support and give. And you just can't outgive God. I don't know how many times this week I hung up the phone, shaking my head that I was so proud to be part of this church from what people are doing for other people. And this is an unbelievable giving family. And you show that not only with your tithes and offerings to the Lord and the way we do missions, the way we reach out to people, not only in the state of Texas that are in the emergency, you know, we help fund that, those emergency trucks that go to different towns when they have issues like this. Part of our funds go to that. And then the international missions that they go to, we support all that. But most of all, it's not just the way you give, but that the faithfulness of the way you give, of your time and your energy and the prayers that are going up from this place. I just don't see a negative, something that we are in void of in our church family. And I just appreciate how giving and loving y'all are. And sometimes we take that for granted. You are in a very special place, and because we're serving a very special God. So let's just go and give him praise and then just praise him by giving of your tithes and offerings. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you. And I thank you that you gave. You showed us. You exemplified. You lived. You gave the perfect example for each of us of how we need to live. Lord, thank you for this church. Not the building, but I praise you that we have a building. But for the people that make up the church. The senior saints, Lord, the people that can't come, that want to be here, that are listening online right now, Lord, I praise you for them. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel the same spirit that we're feeling in this place right now. May they feel that in their homes. right now. Lord, thank you for the hearts of our church family, our church friends, that keep giving and giving and giving. And when you call, they say, Pastor will be taken care of. I got it. It'll be done. Lord, thank you for the things that happen behind the scenes that none of us know all about it. But you do. May you bless them abundantly. May you protect our folks. May you give them warmth, Lord, now if they don't have it. May you give them water, Lord, if they don't have it yet. But Lord, keep them safe. Thank you for your love. May you accept, Lord, this blessing, this offering, this tithe, as a praise offering for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you're fixing to give ready to do. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And the bell, oh, and he came.
Sweating, and you're all just sitting there, just nice and perfect. God is good, isn't he? The words of those songs, no matter what's going on, I have you to depend on, God. When I'm distressed, when I'm grieved, when you're in the location and you're all by yourself, you wonder if anybody's even around. Some of you felt that this week. You couldn't get out. You were stranded. Some of you here get out and didn't want to get out. Remember what we have, our God. We have Him, and He's ever faithful. And I don't know how this works, but it's going to be in the mid-70s today. Now, if you don't think God doesn't have a sense of humor. Last week it was in the 20s, I think, if it didn't get down below that. But my son, Victor, in St. Louis, I think had 11 inches of snow and was expected 8 more, and it was 5 below. So, Texas isn't as bad as what you think. Don't badmouth Texas, folks. Because we'll hunt you down. Get your Bibles if you would. Whew. God is so good. Wow. I'd like to get this just where the stand covers up my belly. Okay. Just in case. You know, you get that. We're going to finish this one up, and hopefully, I don't know, because we're going to talk about the second emotion that we need to be able to handle in this master degree of mastering your emotions. And I don't know about you, but this was for me. And we talked about life sequences. We talked about what God, the world wants us to live by having our feelings control our actions. When God says your thinking and your behavior ought to come before any feelings. So here's a perfect way to deal with this. You don't feel like coming to church today? Come to church. You just don't feel like doing something nice for somebody? Do it. It's not based on feelings. It's based on what God's words asked us to do. And you'll get blessed for that. And I just think that was wonderful. But we have some great scriptures that we've thrown in there. But Philippians 4, 8, and 9, we talked about where to put your mind, because we need to get those thoughts on the right thoughts. And Philippians 4, 8, and 9, you can write that down if this is the first week you've been here in the last couple, two or three weeks. I won't recap because I won't be able to finish if I recap. But Philippians 4, 8, and 9 goes like this. Finally, brethren, when it throws that word in there, brothers, don't get bent out of shape. Church. Finally, believers. Church. Whatever's true. Whatever's honorable. Whatever's just. Whatever's pure. Whatever's lovely. Whatever's commendable. If there is any excellence, there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There's the first step, thinking. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. There's the behavior. And then the peace of God will be with you. There is the emotion. When we get those out of kilter and we work on the emotion first, you're always going to be doing and saying and acting in the wrong way. Last week, we talked about adrenaline and cortisol and how it runs through our bodies when we get anxiety, fear, stress, nervousness. Maybe it happened to some of you this week. And that level can be painful to us and damaging to us if we keep it at that level. And we talked about fear. And we talked about when you have that cortisol and that adrenaline pumping through your system, that's going as fast as it can and filling up your body, you have two responses to that you can take. And it's called flight or fight. And in the fear mode, most of the time, we talked about this last week. This is all free. I got to get to the sermon. But when we get to the fear mode, you end up wanting to flight. I'm afraid. I don't want to do it. You're getting ready to go into a new job interview on something that you really think you're qualified for. But no, it's going to take an act of God. And you just automatically start fearing. And you start putting yourself down. I do this all the time. Oh, I'm not good enough for that. I don't deserve that. It's not going to work for me. And you start fighting that out. Or you're getting ready to have a difficult discussion with somebody that may have hurt you or you hurt them. And that anxiety, you know what I'm talking about? Your palms start getting sweaty. The beads start breaking out on your forehead. You start shaking a little bit. Your belly gets all upset. And then you say, I think I'm going to have a discussion with them. And you just get ready to knock on their door or hit dial on the phone, and you go, this is going to turn out bad, and you talk yourself out of it, of reconciliation, and you flight, you run away, and that fear controls you, and that's not right. You don't want to handle, you don't want to do that. These chemicals that are released in your body are short-term use only. Long-term exposure will hurt your system. Now, the second one that all of us need, not only how to handle our fear, our anxiety, and our stress, but how do you handle anger? How do you handle anger? Another emotion. And in that package, like fear, anxiety, and stress, we kind of package them up. In that package of anger, you're going to see resentment. You're going to see revenge. You're going to see slander, gossip, and Facebook postings that are inappropriate. You send it, and then you go, oh, I wish I could take that back. Twitters that were tweeted out. How many politicians, including probably this week, tweeted things that they wish they could get back, and this world does not forgive anymore. Pack your bags. It's a new one. You're out. In this day, you think, and you start letting the adrenaline and the cortisol affect your tongue. And during this stage, the last thing you need to do is speak. without thinking, because this will get you in trouble. How many have done this? How many parents have said things to their kids? How many kids have said things to their parents that they wish they had never said? I hate you, Dad. And they slam the door and walk out. You can't take that stuff back, even though there's forgiveness and, you know, we're family and all that. But you say things, you go, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. These behaviors are types that fall under the fight response. The fear response is the flight. The anger is the fight. How do you handle that? You, write this down while I take a drink because my throat's gone. You will never make the best decisions when you're angry. Thus saith, I wish I could say the Lord, Greg, but it's in there somewhere. It's good wisdom. You'll never make the best decisions when you're angry. And I'm going to give you some steps how to deal with that. So when anger has control of your tongue, of your actions, of your mindset, of your behavior, you better learn a way to get your machine from drive and race to neutral or park. And the tongue is one of the most vicious muscles in your body. And you have to be able to control that. Some steps. When you feel anger coming on into your body, into your life, into your workplace, into your family, around your dinner table, with whatever you have been served at a restaurant. Do you not realize that if you get mad the second time a burger came out and it wasn't cooked right and you start cussing at the waitress, I wouldn't eat the third time the sandwich came to you. Why would we do that? Why would we allow our mouths to go off and then when they take it to the back room, Lord only knows what they do to that burger. Here you go, sir. I hope it's right now. Are you kidding? Why would we do that to ourselves when we do it all the time? So the first step I want you to be able to control in your anger is to be aware of the emotional condition that you are in. Same as fear. When you recognize it, capture it, and hold it captive. Just like fear. If you can develop that one emotional self-awareness, you can save yourself from so much pain and heartache in life. Proverbs 29:22. You can look that up, but for sure, write it down. An angry person starts a fight. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. That's not me. That's the Bible. That's something you need to put on your refrigerator. They're by the toilet paper roll where you pull the toilet paper down the bathroom. Maybe on the mirror where you shave every morning. An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. Anger has a ripple effect. Why do you want that to be your legacy? Why do you want, after you do that, and then storm out, and just for added icing on the cake, you slam the door? For the people in the room that you just left go, well, that's the way Greg is. Why do you want that to be what you're known by? You have to be able to be aware of the emotional condition. And then step two in this one is walk away. Yeah. Calm down. Yeah. And get out of the fight response. Get out of that. ...90% of the time, you just need to get yourself out of the situation that you're in. When it's getting hot, when you're having a face-off with the spouse, you've been there, and you can't scream loud enough because they're screaming louder, and you just keep doing that, when I do marital counseling, and here it's really a joke for me to do marital counseling, right? But when I do marital counseling, I always say, when you get to that point, say stop, go to the microwave and type in 15 minutes and hit the timer and hit go. And not say a word until the timer goes down and dings. And go to the neutral corners. Get out of it. It's never going to benefit you to have a face-off. How many of you have a broken knuckle or finger or arm or wrist because you punched a hole through the wall? What a lovely thing to do when you're mad. We actually had people raise their hands just now. I can't believe that. Lord, I hope you saw them. But I do want to know, I'm never going to make Gilbert mad. Because he can punch me out. He's a fighter anyway. Most of the time, we need just to remove ourselves from the situation. Why? Because you're the aggressor. The environment continues to trigger that fight response in you. And it'll keep pulling the trigger until it hits a bullet that's live. If you don't get out of it, put your finger off it and walk out. Get out of the situation. Walk away. Keep your mouth shut. And calm down. Church, we have to develop this self-discipline. Nothing can ruin your testimony more than an angry tongue, an angry attitude, behavior that is unbecoming and so un-Christ-like. Nothing good can ever come from that. And it will mess up your testimony for a long, long, long time. And it'll cause destruction in your life. This won't feel normal for people that like to fight. Do you know people like that? They rise to the occasion when there's a fight on their hands. All good. And you know, there, sometimes they push it because they enjoy that. And there's a saying, I don't have it written down. I'm trying to think of it. Wish I could. Okay. When you get into a fight with a pig and you start wrestling in the mud with the pig, I'm not going to be able to pull this out. You remember, anybody know the rest of it?
The pig likes it because he's in the mud, something like that.
Yeah,
he likes it because he's down in the mud.
Yeah, I had to look that up and send that to you because it's really good. I'll find that for next week. But it talks about when you get involved and fight with the pig enjoys it, and you're the one that's going to come out smelling. You're the one that's going to come out dirty. And there's people that enjoy the fight to see if they can get that in you and just poke at you and poke at you until that. Don't fall prey to that. And then step three. Pray and give your anger to God. It's better to spew it out to God than it is with somebody else. God understands your emotions. He knows you're frustrated. He knows you're disappointed. He knows you're mad and angry. No need to be fake in front of him. You might as well just go to him, get out of the situation, go to him and say, God, I'm so mad. And let him hear it. What you're mad about. And then just shut up for a little bit and let him respond to your anger. They're so pathetic that they're so wrong. And you just start telling him what's going on and what you're angry about and how terribly disillusioned this person is in reality. And then shut up and listen to the Holy Spirit poke you a little bit. Could it be that you're just as off base as that person? And then just sit there. Spew it out to him and then pray. God can handle the intensity of your emotions, no matter what they are. I promise you that. Seems strange, doesn't it? To take your anger to the Prince of Peace. But that's what you ought to do. Next time you get mad. Your kids learn this. Don't believe me? I wish I could share the story of what my mom did with my kids, but I can't. I think I can clean it up. My mom was a video game nut. At my mom's house, she had a TV in every room, in every bathroom, kitchen, dining room, living room. There's a TV in every room. And she had a different game system on every TV. Atari, Sega, the Nintendos, Super Nintendos, all of them. She would go to a different room to play these games. And my mom would call me in the middle of the night. Great, how do I get through Super Mario Stage 83? And I'd say, I don't know, Mom, where are you at? And she would say, well, I can't find the tulip or whatever. I just can't find, help me. And she would just, that's what she did with her time alone, was play video games. Well, when my kids were young, and Curtis, if he's listening, he'll understand this. I know Matt will, because Matt stayed with her a lot when he was growing up. They would play video games. They always wanted to go to Grammy's house because Mom was the video queen. Had every game. And when Mom died, she had every one of these original Nintendo games in pristine condition. The boxes and the cartridges, they were never touched. She pulled them out, played them, and put them back in pristine. And they all disappeared, but that's another story. So did all the game systems. I know there's a lot of money there, but don't think about that. Move on. Let's see, I'm Rolodexing through that. Okay, that's a gusto. So my kids went over and spent the weekend with Grammy. So the next day, well, I think it was Sunday afternoon, I picked them up, brought them home, and they went to the rooms and played. And I'm walking by Matt's room, and all of a sudden, and I'm going to clean this up, I hear the game music playing. Dang. Shoot. And I'm cleaning it up, but use your imagination. And I stop and went, so I was outside his room. Shoot. Shoot. Dang. And I said, I go to Matt, what are you saying? The same thing Grammy says. I immediately had to call my mom and said, Mom, you have to clean up your language because my kids are sucking this up like a sponge. Come on, you got to. Mom never did. It's my house. I'll do what I want. She just used those words all the time, and they were always four letters. And but how does your kids respond when they're playing on their phones now and they just got killed in their game and they throw the phone across the room? They throw the controller across the room. They are mirroring what they've seen. What they've seen in you. How you handle it. They're sucking this up. They're soaking this in. They understand how you are handling anger and how you are not. So this third step, pray about it and give that anger to God. It's better to talk it out with God than spew it on somebody else. And for the love of Pistol Pete, stay off social media. Yeah. Listen to me. Stay off the computer when you're mad. There's no deleting this junk. People now read it, and then they take pictures of it. So when you come back to your right mind and you go, oh, well, I can just deny I ever said it. Oh, no, it's in another post because somebody said, well, look what Jack just said. They're taking pictures of it and put it all over the world. Don't do it while you're angry. Psalm 46:10, cease striving and know that I am God. Some of you are just drivers. Some of you are fighters. So be careful if you don't get this one under control. Don't be like Jacob. He kept striving and fighting God until God said, you know, tell you what, I hear you, I see you, I feel you, but you're going to limp for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Last one. I got 6 minutes to get it over with. I think I can do it. Fear, anger, the third one, discouragement. In this bucket of emotions is negativity, pessimism, discouragement, oh me, oh my's. And they all kind of go together. Discouragement is a common emotion for a lot of us. Life is simply hard. Life is unpredictable, painful, filled with discouraging moments. And even discouraging seasons. I want you to hear that. I want everybody to hear this. There's seasons of gloom, of discouragement. There's seasons of times when life just, you know, the old, when it rains, it pours. Good night. What else can happen to me? It just seems like, God, do I deserve this? What have I done? Come on. And it just seems like it's not just a one moment thing, but it's a whole season. And it's hard to stay positive. It's hard to stay upbeat during those times. It's hard to be filled with faith all the time because discouragement will rob you of your joy, your hope, your vision, your energy, and even the thought of a better future. Discouragement will do that. It will rob you of all that. Oh, we're just never going to have it better. We're never going to get into that if you want to talk about the building. Don't you think we all get discouraged about that? But we are going to get in that building. But I don't want to be an Israelite that's making my 37th lap in the wilderness and go, we're never going to get to the promised land. I might as well be a slave. No. The food was a lot better back then. I'm sick of this manna junk. Times haven't changed. It's the same thing. You know why? Is because you think you're God. And I do too. I think I know better. I know when. I know how. I know what he should do. And at that point, I hope God gives you and me both an attitude adjustment of going, wake up and smell the coffee. You have no idea what I'm doing. And that's what's going to be so awesome in heaven. It's going to be so awesome in heaven to be able to go up to him and somewhere in the millions or zillions of years and finally just have coffee with a whole bunch of saints and go, did you ever find out why that happened to me? And then them play it on the day. Look how this played out, because that happened to you there. The rest of this happened for the good. And if that wouldn't have happened, this would have happened. And when you put on the mind of Christ, everything opens up and the scales fall off our eyes. And go, wow, it was only because of that my whole life was different. The best way we overcome discouragement in the last couple minutes we have. You ready? This is important. You want to scoot up on the edge of your seat. The best way to overcome discouragement is together. 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 What the devil will try to do to you is isolate you. Get you out of the element so where you can't be loved by anybody else. You can't be influenced positively by anybody else. You can't be swayed to think different ways than anybody else. Because if he gets you alone in a dark room, he will manipulate your mind like no get out. He will have you on the edge of your emotional balcony and go, doesn't it look good down there? Go ahead. One more step and you can get out of this. Folks, I've been there. I've been there. The only way to get over this is together. That is the value of belonging to a church family like this. Isolation will only increase and put fuel on your discouragement. This week, even with pipes broken and water out, had a friend and called, said, well, my pipes are broken. Went to Home Depot and can't, nothing. I said, let me make a call. And I text Connie and Mike. He said, I need these two or three things for these pipes to get fixed in this house. And the response was, got you covered. Give me the number. Have her call me. It's covered. Like that. Anybody that knows me knows I can't fix a pipe. Anybody that knows me, I don't even know what a pipe looks like. I don't even know what PVC stands for. I didn't know it was different color pipes. Yellow for hot and white for whatever. I didn't know that. I don't know anything about that. But together, it was taken care of. Emotionally, that's what I love about our school. They're here Monday through Thursday and Friday on the whole school. And when somebody comes in, the parent comes in, they just don't say, oh, okay, well, and they let them walk out and go, oh, she was in a bad mood. I wonder what's wrong with her. They catch them and they talk to them when they come in. Are you okay? They break through that discouragement to let them know that even though their name's not on the membership roll, they're part of this church because they're in this building. We influence them, they influence us. And that's the way you get through this. Hebrews 10:25. I got to get this done about a minute and a half. Hebrews 10:25. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. That's what we do together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other. You hearing this? When you're discouraged, where do you go to get encouraged? God says, my house, my family. That's what they're there for. So encourage each other. Build each other up, just as you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. So encourage each other with these words. Colossians 2:2. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Folks, that doesn't come from the pulpit. That doesn't come from me. And I said this in a text yesterday when I was thanking people for being so special. He said, no, Greg, you're the special one. I go, no, I'm not. I just talk. You do. You serve. You act. You love. You are in the foxholes all day long, helping and doing. And I know I do more than talk. I fill the soda machine. It doesn't come from me. This comes from God through you. And that's what's so powerful about this church. Three steps. I'm just going to list them. Step one, when you're discouraged, put yourself in the right environment. Step two. So in that one, move out of isolation into a relationship. Move out of being at home to being in a church. Move out of just that solo life into a family, into a church family. Step two, use your words to encourage each other. There's a kingdom principle. When you're discouraged, use your tongue to encourage somebody else, and he will lift you up when you lift somebody else up. That's a kingdom principle. You reap what you sow. You're down and out, need encouragement, encourage somebody else. You need help, help somebody else. You need somebody to serve and help you and be there, and you do it. And I promise you, he will come through for you. Mastering your emotions is an ongoing work. And I hope these three have given us some bullets that we can be able to shoot at with the love of Jesus Christ, with the power of the truth of his word, and with the love of his family. We can get through this and these together. The Lord, we just want to come to you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the emotions that we have, because we are emotional people. That's the way you made us. That's the way you wired us. Lord, I have Italian blood in me. I can't help but be emotional. That's the way you made us. But Lord, then you gave us the tool and the words and the truth of your word to be able to show us how to handle it, how to master them. But then the devil comes along, and like he always does, he sprinkles a little poison and arsenic amongst all the good stuff in hopes that we won't know the difference between the lies and the truth. Lord, thank you for your word. This last 2 or 3 weeks, we have heard truth from your word, how to handle fear, anger, and discouragement. And Lord, we give it to you. May we walk out of this place being an example and a mirror, Lord, of how you would handle life, how you would handle saying things when things are getting heated. Give you all the praise. Be with us as we go out into this community. May we be the light to the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for being online. Sorry I went a couple minutes long, but God bless you. Have a good week, and may this week be a lot warmer than last. God bless you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for being with us. Join us right here next week for another edition, 9 a.m. on Sunday morning for Faith Springs Live. God bless.